Welcome. My name is Mitchell, and we are filming the Most High Show tonight. This is episode 3 for the season, and we are talking about recovery from substance abuse addiction and things related. And tonight I have here one of my most favorite people, Mr. Gavin. He's an inspiration, which is why we reached out to our community liaison to make this happen. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce my friend Gavin here. And I'm going to have Gavin tell us a little bit about how he got here and how he feels. Go ahead, Gavin.
Hi, everybody. How y'all doing today? It's a blessing to be alive. Based on everything I've come from, like, almost lost my life when I was 19 on 8808. I wound up being in a coma for 3 weeks. A walker, a wheelchair for 4 months. A walker for 2.5 months. And I had to relearn how to do everything. It took me a year to relearn how to talk, how to walk, how to do everything a normal person does. And it was my desire to prove what the doctors tried to tell about me. I wasn't gonna make it. I was always gonna need someone to watch over me and everything else. Like, I would never work, I would never drive, I would never do anything again. But luckily I was blessed, and I was able to get everything else back one by one, step by step, and day by day. You know, it's a blessing to be alive and to actually drive, to actually finally graduate college. And despite all the downfalls that have occurred, I still managed to arise and shine from every disappointing amount that occurred. But it's great to be here. Thank you.
That's wonderful, Gavin. So let's back up a little bit. I've had the blessing of being around to see each stage of your development. And when we met, you were in an interesting place where it seemed to your friends and family and your mentors that you were in a downward spiral. And so we saw imminent death, or at the best, prison in your near future if you weren't able to get sober. So we had an intervention for you, and you didn't know it at the time until it happened. But when we had the intervention, can you tell us a little bit about what happened?
Happened from where?
Do you remember the intervention?
Well, when I was living at my first apartment in Roswell.
Yeah.
That was when I was with my best friend, like brother, and another so-called friend that I met through another category of friends I had. We were living there, and at that time I think that was when I got my own butt on probation for weed, because it was my third time being arrested for weed. And that's when I really started picking up alcohol, because I didn't have any other option unless I really wanted to go back, get locked up again for good this time.
So you're saying you were addicted to marijuana, but since you were on probation, you had to switch your substance of choice and you started drinking heavily.
Yes.
Okay, so around that time, do you remember when your family and mentors intervened on you?
Yes, I'm pretty sure.
So you were probably getting pretty loaded then, so you probably have a fuzzy memory of it. But what I remember is you accepted the help that was offered to you, And you went to treatment, correct?
Yes. Was that 7-day thing?
Right. So you went to a 7-day detox. And then we found a wonderful place called the Hickey House, which became your new home. And we were able to basically extract you from the environment that was killing you and take you to a place where you had a support group of people who were willing to help you stay sober. And so you went there for about a year, if I remember, and struggled with it.
The first year, I struggled a lot. Like, I knew I was still on probation, so that kept me centered and focused on waiting for that 6 months to pass so I can get my car and start the race again to get to where I wanted to be. But I ended up being another downfall because I got in my car, I drove all the way back to where I had my apartment first in Roswell, and I smoked some loud again.
What's loud?
Weed.
Okay, so you're smoking marijuana again. So this whole time, your motivation the first year was really to get your car back, and you were convinced that you were going to get high again.
Yes.
Okay. So at that point in time, you had not smashed the idea that you were unable to get loaded like normal people. You still thought you would be able to do it and be successful, right?
Yes.
Okay, and so then what caused you to reevaluate that? Because now, if I'm not mistaken, you've got 3 years clean and sober?
I'll have 3 years on Friday.
So what changed?
What changed was the fact that I'm not gonna make anything better of myself if I keep spiraling down and spending all my money to dilute the reality of life and just like put it all on standby.
Dilute the reality of life. Some of the wisest words I've ever heard. You know, when we get loaded, it's my belief that we basically buy into a lie and we believe that the reality we're living is at some level worthwhile. We believe that getting loaded to deal with our problems is a way of life that's manageable, or at least something that we're willing to invest our time and our money into. And so you came to the conclusion that you were no longer in a position where you wanted to live a lie. So you started working some steps with a sponsor.
Yes.
And so basically you admitted that you were powerless over drugs and alcohol and your life had become unmanageable, right?
Yes.
And then you came to believe that a power greater than yourself could and would restore you to sanity, right? That was the second step. And then the third step was that you were willing to turn your will and your life over to a power greater than yourself. Yes. Can you tell me a little bit about what that was like?
It was hard to do at first. Like, it's like what you are told and what you read in the book with who's all with you in the meetings and everything else. And at first, like, you read it and then, but it's the, what do you say? It's the perseveration of it being repeated to you over and over again till it actually sinks into your head and makes you honestly start to believe that it could be the better route for you to take this time.
So that involved you beginning to pray more regularly?
Yes.
So do you remember what your biggest challenge was at that time, being willing to and believing that something outside of yourself that you would identify as a higher power could relieve this affliction? Do you remember what that was like once you were able to really feel comfortable with that? Was that like an awakening for you?
What do you mean by awakening?
Like, well, to change from thinking for years that the solution to your problems was to get loaded, do you remember feeling a sense of relief coming to terms with the fact that maybe there was another way?
Yes, like the past is the past. You can never change any of it. You can only let it affect your decision making for the future, because you want to be able to be remembered as someone who went from great or feeling greatness from getting loaded and drunk whenever you wanted to actually changing what you are doing with your own life to affect your life and the ones around you to make it known as is very possible to do so. Like,
so I was thinking a little bit about my experience and what I remember, and it was a little fuzzy because I had done a lot of damage to my brain that a lot of it seems like it was irreversible. I still have a lot of memory problems to this day, but I remember some of it clearing up. It was like coming out of a fog. And when I realized that I had been living a lie and I had been investing all this time and energy and investing other people's pain and suffering into continuing a vicious cycle, when I realized that that was all a lie and that the meaning of life for me was not to continue down a route of pleasure and excess, when I realized that, it was almost like I was reborn, because I started to see people around me giving back to each other in a way to hold each other up and persevere. And that clicked in my head. And I didn't come from a place where I used and believed in anything like a power greater than myself. And I was raised religious, but I didn't buy it. And so once I realized that there was something going on and this power that I identified with was love for your fellows, and I saw it working miracles around me, it was like I had an epiphany and life took on a new meaning. And so to this day, I dedicate as much of my time as I can with helping others and trying to give back in a way that was so freely given to me. And, you know, working with you has been part of that. So when I met you, you know, my job in working with you was not to help you with substance abuse specifically, but because I had recovered myself, I was in a unique position where your family knew that because I'm very open about it. And they reached out to me and they said, what do we do? And I was blessed with this gift that I know that there's a solution. And so I was able to be uniquely helpful to you to help you see that maybe there's another way of life. And so over the past 3 years, I've gotten a chance to see you work through a program of recovery and do things that quite frankly seem impossible at several levels. You know, when you told me early on that you were told you couldn't drive, or that your family was told you would probably never drive, and to see you be in a place now where you drive a vehicle for a recovery program that helps people coming out of correctional facilities as a job, you know, that's two things right there that disproved the doctor's theories or prognosis for you, that not only would you drive, not only would you have a job, but one of your jobs would be to drive people to recovery meetings so that they could get the help that was so freely given to you. And that to me is really touching. You know, you can't write stuff like that. To me, that's a miracle. And I get to see miracles pretty frequently, which is why I keep doing this. And, you know, I see a lot of tragedies too. So it could be easy to give up and focus on something different daily just to avoid seeing all this pain and suffering. But seeing miracles like you really gives me hope that, you know, if you can do this when you were on death's door from you know, traumatic brain injury and from substance abuse, and you overcame it all to not only drive and work, but to graduate college as a sober man and, you know, reintegrate back into your family and be a, you know, a wonderful son to your mom. That's been incredible. And so while I still have a hard time really embracing religion at certain levels, there's no doubt in my mind that there's some power greater than me. And if that power is just love, then so be it. But at times it seems like it's so much more and it's something indescribable. And I'm okay not knowing what that is. But for me, that involves a lot of prayer, a lot of working with other people, and really grounding myself in something that's not financially motivated, something that money can't buy. And so I'm wondering for you today, what keeps you going? Because we all have ups and downs. What keeps you going to continue on this path when you could go back to the life you came from?
I could go back, but knowing from what I came from, I don't want to try that again. Like, you only live once. You have to embrace all that you have, big or small, and be appreciative of it all. And your commitment to get better, everything in life around you will get better with it. Like, despite what you think could happen, it's all possible. But even when things are tough, you have to hang in there, and better days will come. Like, despite the bad ones that you go through. Like,
that reminds me of a phrase that you hear a lot in the rooms of recovery, that this too shall pass. And I'm no stranger to feeling hopeless as a sober individual, and I've had low points, you know, specifically when I was separated from my daughter and realized I couldn't make a family work as I had planned it. You know, that was a low spot for me, and I remember feeling so hopeless that I didn't know what to do, but somewhere inside of me had been instilled this idea that if you just stay sober and don't get loaded and keep going, things will eventually get better. And of course, they'll get worse again, and they'll get better again. But the ebbs and flows of this tide of life with what we describe as bad and good are inevitable. And so when I'm feeling like giving up, you know, I reach out to another person. And oftentimes that's a person that is suffering from some of these afflictions. And inevitably, I end up feeling rejuvenated, and I feel like my hope has been restored, and so for that I'm eternally grateful.
Yes.
Well, I think that's all we've got on this subject tonight. This is Mitchell with the Most High Show, and I want to thank Gavin for sharing his truth and opening up to the world to see a little bit about what a miracle looks like. And to me, Gavin's not just a miracle, he's a miracle squared. He might just be a cat with more lives than the average cat. So thank you, my friend.